Welcome to Changed by Love Radio with Pastor Jim Kevney. Pastor Jim's desire is to teach the Word of God with passion and simplicity, as well as a direct application to our daily lives.
This is something that a lot of people, as you talk to them, will miss. A lot of people miss the fact that God is made known to us personally through the person of Jesus Christ. So when we watch the way Jesus is, when we know and know what God is like, He said, people said, tell us what God's like. And Jesus says, well, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So the second person of the Trinity, I've said this many times before, is God, who adds on humanity and comes to earth.
If you were to ask people what God is like, how many answers would you get? Hundreds? Thousands? It would seem like a question that's impossible to answer. But today, Pastor Jim has a very definite answer to that question. Jesus Christ. If you want to know what God is like, look no farther. Jesus has many ways to describe himself, and each of these can give you a little insight into the whole picture. Jesus is the door through which you can come to God, and he is the good shepherd of his people. Well, let's join Pastor Jim in the book of John chapter 10 as he begins his message. Jesus, the good shepherd.
Well, last time, way back in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 5, Jesus said that he was the shepherd of God's people. And he said the religious leaders were thieves and robbers. What's he mean? Well, we'll explore more of that today. Yet then the Apostle John, as he often does, he adds commentary, okay? And he said that the people did not understand. And today, Jesus is the door and the good shepherd. So let's just think about a quick recap from last time. Last time, Jesus entered through the door. This week, Jesus is the door. So he's like, well, is that inconsistent? No, it's not. These are what? They are metaphors, figures of speech to make a point. I suspect that these are different situations. Verse 1 through 5, Jesus appears to be in town. Remember we said that in the town, the people would all come together. They had a place down maybe at the end of the block, and they would all bring their sheep at night. The sheep would go in there, and the shepherd would guard them, and then the people would come out and call their sheep, and their sheep would know them by name. But this week, Jesus seems to be out in the fields. He may or may not be, but it seems that way to me. Both of these are illustrations that have to do with salvation. As the door, Jesus is the only way to enter salvation. Yet as the good shepherd, Jesus Christ lays down his life for the sheep. So these images are our focus today. So let's look at verse 7 and 8. I want to read it twice because I'm going to terribly interrupt it. The title of our message is today, Jesus the Good Shepherd, from our series that we've called Jesus' Conflict with the Religious Establishment, verse 7 and 8. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Let's go slowly. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, some of you are say truly, truly. Do we remember what that means? That means what's coming next is very important. Pay attention. I say to you, I am. Let's stop right there. I am, ego and me, is the name of God spoken to Moses at the burning bush. So Jesus is saying what? I'm God. Remember, if any religious leaders are there, how are they feeling about this? Not good, okay? So he says, I am the door, some of your versions say the gate, of or for the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them, or some versions say, listen to them. So Jesus begins, okay, and he says, I am God. I am the door to what? He is the door to salvation. He is the way, if you will, you have to walk through him, through Jesus, to get into heaven. We enter the kingdom of God through Jesus, speaking of his person and his work on the cross. So the true people of God are Jesus' flock, and it is Jesus who cares for and rules over his flock. And Jesus, once again, is the door to eternity. Now, this is something that a lot of people, as you talk to them, will miss. A lot of people miss the fact that God is made known to us personally through the person of Jesus Christ. So when we watch the way Jesus is, when we know and know what God is like, he said, people said, tell us what God's like. And Jesus says, well, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So the second person of the Trinity, we've said this many times before, is God, who adds on humanity and comes to earth. And so here's how we see, we can know Jesus personally. Yet notice that is what we're talking about here is what many or most people find offensive. What do you mean Jesus is the only way to God? A lot of people don't like that, do they? They don't like that at all. Before Jesus lived, long before Jesus lived, the psalmist wrote Psalm 118:20. This is the gate. Remember, some of our versions say door, some say gate. John's gospel. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous shall enter. Now, if you're here today with us, listening online, listening to a radio broadcast, listening on the app, whatever, and you're not a follower of Jesus, I want to thank you for being here today. Really glad that you're here. Feel free to come out to me on the way out and say, I'm not a follower of Jesus. No problem. No problem. A lot of us, most of us, were never followers of Jesus. Some of us, little kids, became followers of Jesus. Others of us had to go out and do a lot of stupid stuff before Jesus led us there. And so what do you have to do? Jesus said you have to repent and believe. Repent, turn to God, believe, put your trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin and eternal life. Now, in verse 7, Jesus says something very important that we have to hear him say. He says, I am the door. Notice he doesn't say, I am a door to eternal life. He says, I am the door. And here's where we come into this field example. Why I think he's in the field is very, very important. Out in the field, remember we said when the people had it down the road, they would just hire a guy to watch all night and they would sleep and they'd come and call their sheep out. But out in the field, the walls were piles of rocks that they built. They would take piles of rocks over and they'd build them around. And the shepherd himself was the door. There was no door. There was an opening, a small opening for the sheep. And the shepherd would lay there, maybe fall asleep there. And he would lay down in the space in the rock wall. Why? So the sheep could not escape. If a sheep wanted to escape from inside, he had to do what? He had to climb over the shepherd. But also, can a predator walk in? No. He's going to whack them. So the predator can't come in. And this is a picture of that Jesus is the only one who can protect the flock. He is the only way to the forgiveness of sins, keeping all who put their faith and trust in him and follow him safe for all eternity. Now, this is an interesting thing that many of you have met up with, is that many people who say they're Christians actually deny that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. They do. Now, the Old Testament, Jesus himself, the apostles, firmly disagree with that. Now, I don't mind when people say, he's not the only way, but when they say they're a Christian, I'm like, you're saying that Jesus is wrong in what he says. In verse 8, many of the religious leaders, they believe that they are the way. And Jesus says what? They're thieves and robbers. They're thieves and robbers. I call these guys glory stealers. Do you know any glory stealers? They like to tell you how spiritual they are. You know, so spiritual, you know. Like, not impressed. Sorry, not impressed. And many people say it's based on good works. Based on good works. To me, that is a wall. Because how many good works do you have to do to appear before a holy God? I mean, how much is enough? I have no idea how much is enough. How high is the wall? Again, we've said this before, you're nice people. People tell you I do a lot of good works, and you go, oh, that's great. I go, give me 10. They go, what? Give me 10. Well, all right, all right, 5. Okay, 1. Right? Well, no. Most people don't have any really good works to talk about. So Jesus is the door to eternal life. Again, if you're taking notes, a place we always come to, Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, salvation first, followed by good works. Salvation by grace, followed by good works. Not good works leads to salvation. That's backwards. We have it backwards. There are various ways people come to Jesus. That is true. We all have a story of how we came to Jesus, but in the end, Jesus is the only way to the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. So got that? Various ways to Jesus, but Jesus is the only way to the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. At the end of the verse, Jesus says, but the sheep did not hear them. We're going to call that spiritual discernment. Spiritual discernment. That's a fancy way of saying thinking the way God thinks, spiritually and practically, recognizing truth and error. Now, when we did this a few weeks back, we saw some of the Old Testament passages that talked about that, and also in Jesus' time. And so here, presumably, some of the phony religious leaders are standing right in front of Jesus. It could also be at this time there was a lot of false messiahs. There was a lot of guys walking around. Messiah stuff was really heavy. They wanted to kick the Romans out. So guys were coming along saying they were the guy, they were the guy. A lot of false messiahs. Caesar, actually, you know, when the apostles went out into the other side of the Mediterranean, they were teaching. Did you know that they were breaking the law? Because you know who was Lord? Caesar. And do you think that's what they taught in the early church? No, he's not. They were saying Jesus is Lord. That was against the law. They could do whatever they wanted to for them. And Caesar was a guy who, how did he strike down people? With the sword. He was a guy of power. But how does Jesus fight? The good shepherd fights with a cross. Verse 9 and 10, Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, or some versions say through me, he will be saved. He will receive the forgiveness of sins and eternal life and will go in and out and find pasture. Now, many of you know that I grew up across the street from a horse farm. And so when the horses would go out to the pasture, they would just be, they'd be in that barn locked up all night. And then they would go out and then they'd be running all around and then eating the hay and the grass and just lying around. They were just so happy to do all that. I used to love to watch them being called out to that. Verse 10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly, or life to the full. Okay, I want to just time out for a second. I reserve the right to come back to verse 10. Is that okay? So the term to be saved is not used a lot in the Gospel of John. It's not used a lot. And Jesus is clear here. If anyone enters by me or enters through me, through Jesus, he says, you will be saved. That's how you get into heaven. You enter through Jesus. Now, in the Old Testament, it was well known what shepherds were. And so people always wonder why they would be, use them. Almost every piece of a lamb was usable for something. So they were, while they were unable to defend themselves, they were highly valued animals because you could make a good buck if you raised a lot of them. But in the Old Testament, the shepherds were known as the kings of God's people and the religious leaders. Yet Jesus is the way to find pasture. Jesus says that he is the way to find true rest and security in God. But if you don't enter the kingdom of God through Jesus, you don't get in. You don't get in. The gate is being guarded, if you will, into the sheep pen. And the reason is there is no other door. Now, I know a lot of you know that, but I want to make sure that you know it to be able to explain it to someone, that Jesus Christ is the only way to find your way in to heaven. There's no other way to find it. That is the exclusive claim of the Christian faith. And it's exclusive claim that Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only door, if you will, to heaven. Jesus said that the way to heaven is narrow and the way to destruction is wide. In other words, security is found by being close to the shepherd. That's how you get in, by being close to the shepherd, through faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, not yourself. But let me just put an asterisk on that. That does not mean that you hate yourself. I know a lot of people say they hate themselves. If you are a follower of Jesus, do you realize that the God of the universe died in your place for your sins? Do you think he hates you? I mean, think about that. Now, you may hate some of the things that you do, but don't have a higher standard than Jesus. Jesus thought you were worth dying for. And if you're here and you're not a follower of Jesus, he wants you to acknowledge that. And he thought you were worth dying for. And so he's willing to do that. In verse 10, he compares himself to the thief, okay? And he says what? The thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. Yet Jesus has come to bring us eternal life. And now, the glory to come is far greater. Let's put a timeout on that statement. The glory to come is far greater. Do you think about that much? Do you think about that much? Or are you so absorbed in today that that's all you care about? Now, when you get older, like some of you people, not me, why are you laughing? Your friends start to talk about, do they have enough money for retirement? So American. So anyway, you just sit there and you wonder, do you have enough money for retirement? But no thought of eternity. No thought of eternity. Is it important to save? Yes, it is important to save. But I don't think we think enough about the life that is to come. And sometimes that is a large part of our motivation in life. We see Jesus is both the protector and provider of the flock. Now, there's debate among some people. Is the thief the religious leaders or is it Satan? Okay, a lot of people like to argue stuff like that. To me, I'm like, same team. What's the difference? But Jesus Christ came to make us spiritually alive and to overflow with the love and the grace of Jesus Christ. So what did Jesus think about the religious leaders? Well, Matthew gives us an idea in his gospel, Matthew 23:15, quoting Jesus. Jesus says this, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees," those are the religious leaders, "hypocrites." How'd you like to be called a hypocrite? Yeah, it gets worse. "For you travel land and sea to win one proselyte," that word means convert, "and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourself." Did you hear that? Twice as much a son of hell as yourself. Jesus, what are you trying to say? Like sometimes Jesus is just so blunt in what he's trying to say to people. So notice that's what he says to what? Obnoxious, self-righteous, religious people. Not hurting people. You don't catch him saying that to certain people. Even people that are kind of ungrateful for his healing, he's not so upset with them like that. But that's the way he feels about these people. Verse 11 through 13, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life," or some versions say lays down his life, "for the sheep. But a hireling," or a hired hand, "he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them." The hireling flees, he says, because he's a hireling and does not care about the sheep. So he's really talking about the religious leaders here. So he doesn't care. Why? Why does the hireling flee when the wolf comes? It's a job. It's a job. That's it. I didn't sign up for this. Okay? So this passage has meant a lot to people of God throughout the ages as it reminds us of Jesus Christ's love and care for his followers. Now, the religious leaders would have realized that Jesus of Nazareth is saying, "I am God." They also knew that Jesus knew that they were trying to kill him. Now, this is also the doctrine of what we call substitutionary atonement. Now, sometimes somebody might say to you, "Do you believe in substitutionary atonement?" You don't have to answer me yet. See if I can convince you. It is the belief or the teaching that Jesus died on the cross in your place for your sins as a substitute for sinners. It's essentially what it means. And because of that, through faith and trust, You can have your sins forgiven. You can be declared righteous in God's eyes and in God's sight, and you can get into heaven. So he's saying that is the doctrine of substitutory atonement. Once again, Jesus Christ dying on the cross in our place for our sins. And the Good Shepherd says this, he gives life or he lays his life down. These are things that I think we need to really think about a lot, that Jesus died for our sins. And here's how you personalize it. Everybody take your fist. Don't punch yourself in the head. And say, Jesus Christ died for my sins. My sins. Now, the shepherd dying for a real flock would be a complete disaster. Because if they killed the shepherd, what would the wolf come in and do? Eat everything. Yeah, eat everything. But not for a follower of Jesus. That is the absolute biggest blessing ever. And I would encourage you to stop and think about that. I don't think we give enough thought to some of these things. We're like, oh yeah, Jesus died for my sins. When people say that to me, I go, well, explain that to me. And I've met very few people who can explain that. And if you meet someone and you ask them to explain it to you and they can't, boy, what an open door to explain it to them. What an open door to explain it to them. And these are the kind of things we learn week after week. Here, as in many places, Jesus is revealing to us the cross to come. So Jesus is well aware of his mission. So he connects Jesus being both the door or the gate, the way into the kingdom, and the good shepherd. So what does Jesus do? He lays down his life, putting his life at risk on the cross that makes him the good shepherd. Now, for us, we use the word good a lot, probably a little overused. In some places in the Bible, the word good means holy and morally pure. Do you know anybody who's that? Yes, you do. Jesus. That was a trick question. But here, I kind of looked it up what a lot of Bible scholars think it means here. And it actually, a lot of them say it has to do with the beauty and excellence of Jesus giving his own life for us. Just how beautiful that is. And do you think of it that way? Do we really believe it? Now, the religious leaders despise the guy they knew as Jesus of Nazareth. They despise him for such claims. They know what he's talking about. They also despise that Jesus did not only come for the elite class. You know, the elite people? And many of the religious leaders were part of the elite people. And Jesus seemed to favor the non-elites. Some of the elites he called. But he seemed to favor those people. And we've seen an earlier passage of Jesus. We learned that the people, the religious leaders referred to them as, remember what they were? The people of the dirt. How'd you like to be the people of the dirt? Yeah. Hey, nice to meet you, person of the dirt. Well, what did Jesus think of those people? We learned what he thought about the religious leaders. Do you remember what he said? You're hypocrites. You're a son of hell. How'd you like to have somebody say to you, you know, I've been thinking about you and you're a hypocrite and a son of hell. Pretty sharp, right? Pretty tough. Listen to what Matthew says about Matthew 9:6. It said, but when he, Jesus, saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them. Why? Because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Now, the religious leaders were supposed to be the shepherds of God's people, but they weren't. And so they had no shepherd. Verse 12, Jesus is very clear. The shepherd who is hired and doesn't own the sheep will not put his life at risk. What is that Jesus telling us? My people, I die for my people.
You have been listening to Changed by Love, the teaching ministry of Pastor Jim Kevney. We hope and pray that Pastor Jim's simple and passionate verse-by-verse, line-by-line teaching through the Gospel of John is growing you in your Christian faith. Would you like to hear this message again? Simply log on to our website, changedbyloveradio.org. There, you can listen to archived broadcasts, load our mobile app, as well as listen to Pastor Jim's easy-to-follow verse-by-verse teaching on much of the Bible. Make sure you tell your friends and family about Changed by Love on this station, as well as how to listen to Pastor Jim on our website and mobile app. Changed by Love is a listener-supported ministry that exists due to the generosity of people like you. Just go to our website, changedbyloveradio.org, and hit the donate button in order to partner with us. Your donations help us to produce more shows, purchase radio time, and do whatever it takes for Changed by Love to reach more people with the gospel. We would also love to hear from you. Please email us at changedbyloveradio@gmail.com. In the next edition of Changed by Love, Pastor Jim will continue teaching through the Gospel of John. Please join us at this same time, and please make plans to join us again to be encouraged, comforted, and challenged by the Word of God. When you write to us, please let us know where the station is, and please give us the station's name. Until then, stay close to Jesus, and we know that you too will be changed by His love.